You're listening to Kingdom Live.
We're not theologians by any means. We're just a couple guys that love the Word of God and we're living out our calling.
A salvation testimony and men's topic show right here from the Central Valley.
And the structure of our marriage was going to fall apart if we didn't do something about it. And my wife suggested we try going to church.
Now let's join our host, Jonathan Olson and Cody Houck.
This is Jonathan Olson.
Hey, and this is Cody Houck.
You're listening to Kingdom Lives, and today we were going to discuss a topic that is referring to exhibiting faith as the leader of your household. And this is something that I think needs to be touched on and also emphasized within a lot of people's homes. It is a very powerful thing that we can easily lose track of if we're not careful. So what I'm kind of thinking about here is, as the leader of our households, we are also the leaders of the faith in our household. We are the ones who carry the people within our homes with us, and our homes are what help to carry communities as well. And I kind of wanted to touch on, given a lot of the current situations in today's world that we're seeing, the amount of conflict that can happen between your own faith and possible fears and anxieties that are coming in from the world that can affect the way that you're able to lead your home in faith. So one of the things that strikes me is that faith and fear are not supposed to be very compatible things to exhibit in our life, that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we live that way, that the happenings throughout our world should not instill such a level of fear that we can no longer rely on Jesus Christ the way that we were when things weren't happening. And, you know, there's a lot that we can discuss about what fear is and, you know, the contrast between the fear of the Lord and anxieties. But I don't really want to touch on all of that. I kind of want to talk with you, Cody, today about how leading our home works. How does that work? And how does that work when you're scared?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you and I have interesting perspectives on that. We can touch on two different sides of it. Because living life with you and Jamie, it's apparent in areas that you guys share similar foundations of belief in social issues, political, economic issues, whatever that may be. I have the opposite side of that, and my household's a little split. So that's an interesting dynamic that we can touch on, is how to lead your family when there might be different beliefs in the social realm, but the same belief in the spiritual realm.
Right. And, you know, that's actually a good point to make, because there are things that have not always been that way in our household. And so for Jamie and I, Jamie has done her own studying and she's been in some women's groups and stuff like that. And she's made a concerted effort that doesn't always win the day, but she does make the effort to let me lead, you know, and that's something, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't agree on, but she does believe that biblically, if I'm the head of the household, that she will rely on me to steadfastly lead our entire family into the path that the Lord has set for us. And that is difficult because that's scary. And it's also difficult because sometimes she gets a word that I don't get that is leading our home in certain directions. So, I mean, it's a very nuanced situation for each person. And there are times that I need to relinquish that leadership to a point of letting Jamie take the reins and make some calls and that kind of stuff. And I don't mean this like I come in and I dictate my home or anything like that either. I think that's maybe the image that people talk about, and that's what they see when we talk about being the leader of our home.
Well, I think we talk about context or scripture out of context sometimes, right? When people look at the scripture that says, wives submit to your husbands, they forget the part that says, husband, lay down your life for your wife.
Right. Yeah, that it's supposed to be a two-way street. And I am thoroughly blessed that my wife will let me lead. And if I am convicted on something, she'll do it, even if she disagrees. But there are times that she's convicted on a certain action or a certain move. Us moving to Arizona was one of those. She woke me up in the middle of the night and said that she heard a very clear word from God that we're supposed to sell off everything we have and go to Arizona. And that was a very difficult thing for me to do. But in doing all of these things, you get into situations. I feel like it's easy in the United States of America, for the most part, it's easy in our comfortable lives to lead our homes in faith without it ever being challenged to a very significant degree. And given a lot of the current events for today, we are seeing a lot of those things be challenged in a way that we maybe have never seen before. We're seeing a lot of civil unrest. We're seeing a lot of the anxiety caused from, you know, the COVID-19 situation and all these other things that are happening. And these are all seeping into our houses. They're seeping into our lives in a way that if we let that part of the world affect our faith, it will seep out of our faith and into the faith of our spouse, and then the faith of our children, and then the faith of our community around us. And then that will be what the people who maybe don't know Christ, that'll be what they see. And at the same time, we'll come in beside that and say that we're showing everyone the love of Christ, and what they're seeing is someone that is reacting out of anxiety and fear. And through the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, you didn't see Jesus doing that. You saw sorrow and compassion and him coming alongside and pleading on behalf of people that were scared, but also calming them.
I think that's a really important point you made. And our first touch point on the leadership of our homes is when we're under duress and we see these things that are going on around us, what example are we setting for our household? Are we sitting back and being consumed by mainstream media and the news? Are we sitting back and reading all of our Facebook feeds all day long in front of our kids and wife while they're sitting here around us? Or are we leading in a way of showing that we have faith in whatever God is doing through this? And if our kids especially come to us with questions, are we shying away from those discussions, thus allowing the world to feed their opinion in, or our children's young minds having to be stuck forming whatever opinion they might form on their own? Or are we guiding them down the road of laying it down and having faith in Christ? But we also have to remember that it's okay to be scared.
Right.
And we have to have the vulnerability in ourselves to show that, and also give our kids and our spouses the leniency and the reins to have feelings as well, because we can't just create robots.
Yeah.
That are walking around emotionless.
I think that's a really good point to touch on too, is, you know, by leading our home in faith, we need to be able to demonstrate that it's not us that we're relying on. It's not myself that my wife is relying on. It's my faith, which is inherently me relying on God and Jesus Christ, right? And if we're going to rely on Jesus Christ, our children especially need to be able to see that we're not strong enough without Jesus Christ. So it's very, in my mind, it's very beneficial and fruitful for them to see that you do get scared and you do have anxieties and stuff like that. And then they can see you lay it down to God and give it over to him, and then watch that change who you are. Watch that change your actions and how your demeanor changes around your children. And I think that as men especially, we are so hardwired with how culture has brought us up in this country to not allow any of those emotions to show, to keep it all under wraps and then just show the very well-structured pillar of perfection that our family is supposed to model after. And the reality is none of us are that. None of us are that strong. And the only thing that happens is we get overwhelmed and overcome. And then what they see is some sort of anxiety breakdown or a mental breakdown or panic attacks or anger outbursts and these types of things that are very common within men especially, but they're very common with anybody that is trying to uphold an image that is not legitimately as thorough as we're trying to make it look.
Yeah, and it was a huge issue for me. I was, and it sounds like you were too, that we were raised as a man, you don't show weakness. Not only in front of your wife and kids, you don't show weakness to anybody.
Yep.
So we weren't brought up with a foundation of vulnerability. But what does Scripture say, especially in relation to sin, when sin is present in our life? It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that was a huge part of my testimony, is the day that I broke down and told my wife for the first time after 10 years that, yeah, I'm addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've sought attention from other women outside of our marriage. I've lied. I've stolen. I've done all these terrible things, not only, again, to my wife, to the pastors of our church, having to have that tough conversation with my dad, who was that pillar of, you don't show weakness. But in that, so much freedom came from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I allowed, or when God came in and actually performed that healing and allowed those chains of sin to be broken from me.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's incredibly powerful. And if we're gonna take the mantle of a leader of our home, and we want our children and our spouse to put that mantle on us as much as we carry it, in the same regard that we put the mantle of our family within our pastor or the home church that we seek guidance and mentorship from there, we need to have the level of humility and humbleness and transparency to let them see the way that we overcome these issues. And the way that we do that is by, like we said before, by giving it over to Jesus Christ. But one thing I kind of want to touch on, because we do have a little bit of different circumstances here. You know, your children are a little bit older than mine. My oldest is 3. So in this situation, whether people are working from home or they've lost their work or they're working normally as an essential worker that has to go out every day, the children in our communities are all experiencing a drastically different experience in each of our homes. So in my situation, I've been working from home, but also because my oldest is only 3 and he has no idea of what's happening within the world that's allowing me to be home every day. And so it's something that I have to work every day, and I spend a lot of time in prayer to keep myself strong enough to be able, because in his situation, it's not going to help him if I come and say that, you know, daddy's struggling right now and he's a little anxious about this whole situation and he's trying not to engage in things that are fruitless and he's giving it all over to God and here's how I'm doing it, because to him, It would be in my mind pointless to do that.
That level of understanding there doesn't exist.
Exactly. And your kids are a little bit older, so I mean, are they coming to you with questions about that kind of stuff? Are you guys having discussions like that?
My daughter does more often than my son, but God has led me at this point to kind of take those issues head on and not wait for them to come and ask the questions.
Okay.
If I'm having a day of struggle, there's days that God lays conviction on my heart to take it to them and not lay a burden on them, but to let them know and, again, lay that foundation that we've spoken about that we didn't see of vulnerability and show them it's okay to struggle.
Right.
It's okay to have a day where you are not certain of what's going to happen.
Yep.
But don't hide it. There are people around you who love you, that are here for you, that will pray for you. We can talk it through. We can do our best to understand what God is doing in the situation. It may be a thing that it's beyond our understanding, which is a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
But taking that and forging forward and being proactive about it rather than trying to be on my heels and be reactive.
Right. And so that kind of takes me to the next point I want to touch on is the reason that we would try to uphold a solid exhibition that doesn't show any weakness or any anxieties or anything like that. Because, you know, what we're talking about here is being the faith leader of our household. But by doing that, by allowing some of these things that maybe we consider to be embarrassing to be out in the open, so that they can be dealt with, especially in situations like when my kids get old enough to actually stumble across my testimony, that's going to be an embarrassing situation that I have to uphold a strength in God to show them that what it took for me to lay that out in the open was something that only God could provide for me. And I find it to be a almost perilous situation whenever we find ourselves reacting so vehemently to other people within our world today and not taking into any account what that looks like to our children, what that looks like to our spouse. You know, like you mentioned before, are they seeing you scroll through Facebook? Are they seeing you react in certain ways? Are they seeing outbursts that are a result of anger and all these other things? And with all of these are not things that you should, in my mind, these are not things that you can avoid altogether. They're very real problems that we all have. They're very real things that we're all going to exhibit at some point. And it's how crucial it actually is to be transparent about it, to be willing to acknowledge it. And if you look at the reasons why we wouldn't acknowledge it, why we would try to keep it hidden and try to appear to be strong, they're all based out of pride and arrogance and deception.
Absolutely. And when I entered into recovery and started going to Celebrate Recovery, and God showed me, that was when he first revealed to me the power of testimony, is when I entered into the Celebrate Recovery program. The structure of that program is a lesson 1 week, and then you listen to a testimony, whether that be a live testimony from somebody within your ministry, or you watch a video testimony. And hearing the vulnerability of people sharing their struggle in that testimony started to open my eyes, and it helped break chains within me to hear those things. So that started inspiring me. Okay, I have at that point probably 400 or 500 friends on social media. I started recording videos about my testimony and my struggle with drugs and various things in my life, and started to put those things out. Well, when some of my family started seeing that stuff, obviously questions start flying in. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is, the public can see this.
Right.
And you're just out telling everybody that you've been a drug addict? Well, yeah, because I'm no longer a drug addict. Right. And they need to know why.
Right.
They need to know that I tried recovery programs in the past. I tried to quit cold turkey. I had done all of these things without God. I had walked into church and had been attending church for 2 years without having a relationship with Christ. And I would walk out of church on Sunday afternoon and call my drug dealer and go bye.
Yep.
And spend Sunday night binging right after I walked out of church because I didn't have that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the calling. We have to share that so people can know, here's what that walk can look like, but here's what can happen when you submit to Christ. So those existed. And it wasn't until, I would say probably, I had been sober for actually a little over a year before I even went and told my dad all of the things that I had done over a several year stretch, that he thought I was clean. And that was a very difficult conversation to have, but it was very freeing. There was no safety net there. We were actually out on an elk hunt together in the middle of the forest. It was pouring rain, and we were in the RV huddled up trying to stay dry. And I felt God call me in that moment. He said, you need to tell your dad right now everything that had gone on.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't. I don't have a ride home if I do that. He's going to throw me out here in the middle of the rain.
Yeah.
But I sat down with him, and for probably 2 hours, we talked through all of it. And we hugged, and we cried, and we tackled extremely difficult subjects. And that was such a moment of freedom. And I would say 6 months, maybe 8 months after that, he came home from work one day. And he works in the prison system. And he was telling me about an encounter he had with an inmate that was in there. I think he said the kid was 19 or 20 years old. And he had already served some time for selling drugs. And this kid is ready to get out. He's nearing his release date. And I still don't remember how he said this conversation sparked. But this kid started crying. And he's like, I don't want to go back to that life that I was living. But it's all I know. I have a wife. I have kids that I have to provide for. And all I know how to do is sell drugs. And my dad shared my testimony with him.
Yep.
And the kid thanked him for it and said it was, said it inspired him. Now, I don't know what's happened to that kid since then.
Yep.
I don't know if that, if he's given his life to Christ or is living clean or went right back to that lifestyle. But I share that story just to share. It can be difficult to tackle these situations, especially with loved ones or people like we're talking about that have instilled in us, you don't show weakness.
Right.
But God continues to work through that and use them as a vessel to carry your testimony on, and your testimony can then lead people to Christ in that way as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's a perfect point to kind of touch on this next part. I kind of wanted to contrast that with when you hear someone share a testimony that they're also still embarrassed about. You know, they haven't let go of the humiliation that comes with it. And by not exhibiting that humility, their testimony sounds a lot more like, you know, I was lost in the darkness and God found me and pulled me out of it, and I've been saved and I've been doing all these things, which is an amazing thing there. But if you're not sharing what that darkness looked like in your life, then the people that are stuck right next to you in that darkness don't know how you got out.
Yeah.
They don't know you were even there. And for people to know that you were there lends the credibility to Jesus Christ for them to trust him to get them out too. And so I think that's why there's so much emphasis on letting your testimony walk and be powerful, but also exhibiting the humility to actually share the details that are embarrassing and they hurt. It enables people to come alongside you. And it enables your testimony to walk along. In that situation, your dad shared your testimony. That was completely out of your hands. That's the Holy Spirit moving your testimony into someone else's life who needed it at the right time. And that couldn't have happened if you didn't share the details.
Yeah.
And it would have never crossed your dad's mind if he didn't know that, like, this is similar to what my son just told me about. Let me tell him about what Jesus did for him. And I think that's very powerful, and that ties right into what's so important about being the faith leader of your family is you need to be able to have that level of openness and humility and transparency so that people can come alongside you, but even more important, so that you can have layers of accountability with your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that that accountability keeps your faith whole, it keeps your faith strong, and it also keeps your feet sure. When you're stepping forward, it keeps you from your missteps happening so easily. So
I think when we talk about family, obviously we need to start with our households, yeah, with our wife and our kids, but our family doesn't end there.
Right.
That needs to branch out. If your parents haven't accepted Christ or are not walking with him, if your grandparents, your cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever that may be, you have a responsibility not only to your own household, but to be that example within your entire family.
Yeah.
Not just your wife and your kids.
Yep. Yeah. And I think what we'll find, and I've seen this in my life, and maybe you have too, but as my faith becomes more bold, at first it was the boldness that it took to share my testimony with my wife, and then the boldness that it took to share on the next degree of my family, which is, you know, my parents, my in-laws, that kind of stuff. And what seems to happen is the more that I'm transparent and open about that, the stronger my faith gets and the more bold it becomes. And the more bold it becomes, the more that family trickles down to further and further people away, to the point that it's cousins and second cousins and friendships and all these other things where you're boldly proclaiming the way that Jesus Christ walked in your life. And all of that is reinforcing that armor and that shield that you have for the world to keep your faith whole. And I feel like it's these actions that create the man of faith that's leading the home and not creating the appearance, right? I think once you're caught up in making that walk, you're less concerned about what you look like as a Christian and more concerned about stepping into the will of Christ. And by doing that and not being concerned about what it looks like, the appearance of it is much more of a true Christian appearance that I think we're called to show our families, but also our communities and the world. And I feel like this is a very important thing that we, as men, we don't feel comfortable talking about it because inherently we all have somewhere that we're lacking in this. And so we don't want to acknowledge that weakness. We don't want to say that we have been a man of faith. But now that we're talking about this, let me tell you about where I've stumbled and fallen, even though I've told you that I've never done that. And it's embarrassing. My testimony is embarrassing. Anyone that hears it, I am embarrassed.
And I want to provide some encouragement in this as well. And it's something we've talked about in our home group several times. We come on and we talk about experiences that we've had in which God has blessed us to see the immediate fruit of us in that act of faith. We've been allowed to see some of it. But what we've talked about is God plays the long game. And it talks about in Scripture that some seed is going to fall on bad soil and it will never sprout. But it can also take time for those seeds to fertilize and to grow into something. And that seed that you plant today may not take root for 10 years after you've had that conversation with somebody, and you may never see it, but you judge your day by the amount of seeds you plant.
Yeah.
So as you're going out and doing this, plant the seeds.
Yeah.
Share your testimony. Be vulnerable. Plant the seeds and trust that God's going to work in that.
You know, and I just kind of want to put a little bit of a plug out there for anyone that's listening to this. If you go to kingdomlives.com and leave a comment for us and sign up, let us know if there are certain things that you struggle with or certain things that are, things you want to let us know about. You know, we'd love to hear what any of you guys are working on and struggling with to be the leaders of your household.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you guys can reach us at social media, at Facebook at Kingdom Lives, Instagram at kingdom.lives, Twitter at kingdom_lives, or reach out to us on our website at www.kingdomlives.com. You can send those questions, struggles, prayer requests on the Contact Us tab. So we look forward to hearing from you guys, and we thank you again for joining us this week.
God bless you all.
Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Kingdom Lives. Don't forget that you can catch us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at Grace 91.1 FM here in Central Arizona, or you can live stream at grace911.com. We're a listener-supported ministry, and you can give to support our ministry at www.kingdomlives.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.